Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. Appreciate everybody following along here in the post-Memorial Day, last place era of Orioles baseball. This one here, however, will be a little baseball, a little fashion, and probably a lot of art, maybe a little rock and roll. I will have the Back to the Future scratch-off. Speaking of retro, we're going to be at Greenmount Station in Hampstead, where they have a delicious crab cake, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery, in conjunction with our friends at Curio Wellness, as well as Liberty Pure and Raskin Global, and a whole bunch of other folks up in Carroll County on the 5th of June, and then the 13th, we're going to make our way down to Fadley's, if I can get my equipment repaired from the Las Vegas disaster. Speaking of disasters, the Orioles season is in progress. And, I keep strange company. I mean, I get all of these thoughts out on social media about being an aging male and not having enough male friends and doing enough males. As all these women do all these getaways and yoga retreats, and my wife's running off with her sister and her family, doing family stuff and all that. Tom Radom and I have become bros from the Philadelphia-Baltimore thing. We've actually had cheesesteaks together with Dick Girardi in Fishtown up in Philly. He is not a Philadelphian, but he has decided to get filthy at this point in his life and live in Philadelphia. He is an artist extraordinaire. He has created all sorts of logos. Some he will take credit for, some he has run from. Today will be to tell the truth with you, Todd Radom, because these orange pumpkin jerseys come back. Every time they come back, the first thing I think of, all right, there's you and there's Rasig, and then there's a couple of my buddies like Joe Enoch who have a sense of humor about teams, and certainly Luke Jones, who's the fashion police here. He's our fashionista. I don't know what to make of it, but you look at it through the whole sports landscape of the changing, evolving tapestry of logos, and that, you can make a swashbuckling Buccaneer in the 1970s and make it hold up 50 years later, but somehow these City Connects and these pajamas the Red Sox were wearing over the weekend leads me back to you, because you are the minister of all things sports art.
Well, first of all, Nestor, it's great to see you again, my friend. And if two guys can't bond over a cheesesteak in Fishtown, that just says everything you need to say.
You have to have a seat with a window in Fishtown. A Fishtown needs to be seen. You don't want to sit with your back to it. Not that I'm making any of those kind of references, but you want to look out the window when you're in Philly, at least I think, and look around.
Yeah, and where you and I went, Joe's Steaks at the corner of Girard and Frankfurt Ave, a particularly wealthy tableau in terms of everything, people, old school trolleys, dogs, all kinds of stuff.
So I ordered my cheesesteak with lettuce and tomato. He called me a tourist.
Well, I'm going to tell you a very – I don't want to veer off course over here and steer us into a ditch.
No, you can go anywhere you want, man. I'm ready for you today, Todd. I mean, I'm ready. I haven't done radio in 5 days, Memorial Day. I sacked my Fadley's crab cake tour. I have coffee. I have some Zeke's coffee here, and I'm ready to listen. Let's go.
All right. Well, so I gave you the heads up, but I had some friends, some very dear friends from the UK visiting here for a week, and they are big baseball fans. This is a couple.
How?
One the guy, husband wife, the guy did a semester in the U.S.
Okay, got it.
Back in the 80s at Plattsburgh State in upstate New York, fell in love with baseball, went to Montreal Expos games. And so, anyway, they are such diehard baseball fans that a couple of years ago, when the Yankees and Red Sox played in London, their kids got him a Father's Day gift of all gifts, which was tickets for that series. So they're really into it. So anyway, we went down to Baltimore. We took Amtrak from Philly to Baltimore and went to an Orioles game. I'll get to that in a second. But my friend Steve experienced his first Philly cheesesteak. And that was at Joe's, looking out the window, as you referenced.
Way better than going to that corner down in South Philly,
which is
fine. But, yeah. Geno's and, like, Pat's, and I've had them all. I've had them at 3 a.m. I've had them at 3 p.m. They're fine. But to me, you can do better. Matter of fact, I'll bring you down to Pizza John's, and I'll get you a cheesesteak down here to blow your mind.
All right. I'm up for it. You know
Did you
that.
Wear
I'm
that
up
hat
for
to
it.
Piss me off?
I did. I intentionally wore this.
All right,
I
so here's
did.
the problem. Todd Radom is our guest. Todd has done. Tell everybody about yourself in 30 seconds. You're like a sports cartoonist. You've written books. You've designed. You're that guy, right? You've done logos. You've done all that, right?
Yeah, so I always say I do a number of things, but I've been working in sports design for more than 30 years, almost 35 years now. When I started doing this, there really was no such thing. There were very few people doing it. And people really didn't care too much about the uniforms, at
You've made a
least.
lot of teams a lot of money just redesigning all of this because I know that it's what it's about. But let me just say this, and I'll be really sincere and frank. I don't know you well. I know you well enough to know it's dangerous what you know and the access you have. And you might be developing the Super Bowl logo for Super Bowl 74 right now, and I don't even know it, right? Because that's the way a guy like you works. So when I find these Red Sox, first off, I put the television on. The Orioles haven't won in a month. It's like the most unbelievable implosion of all implosions. We got a fired manager. We got all this going on here, right? And that's not even anything to do with Justin Tucker. But we've lost the baseball season here in the time that you brought your friends from the UK down here. Like 8 games in a row, 18 under 500, just awful stuff happening. And while the 17th to 18th loss, under 500 was happening, I put the game on and the Red Sox are dressed like, and I couldn't figure it out. It took me a minute. I'm watching, and I'm like, all right, what is it? And then I'm like, oh, it's the color of the wall. They're dressed like the Green Monster. And I'm like, well, what happened to the Ukrainian pajamas they were wearing 5 minutes ago? And like, what happened to the sanctity of you're the Boston Red Sox and like keep your brand? And then I realized I started poop texting you. And I thought, oh my God, this might have been Radom's idea. And now that you're wearing the hat, I am you're smiling at me like maybe you were behind this or you
No,
know the
no.
people that were behind this and you can't
Yes.
insult them. But I'm telling you right now, I don't get any of this. And this is my chance to yell, get off my lawn to everybody.
So here we go, Nestor. You and I are the old guys that all of this stuff is not aimed toward. Let's just agree on that part to
Who is it
begin with.
aimed toward?
It's aimed for youth, and it's aimed toward youth, and it's aimed toward a society in which all of us have our faces in our devices 24/7, 365, and our attention spans are so diminished that they are worn down to a nub. So let's move it back for 1 second, and I will always cite the example of the NBA as the most egregious example of too many uniforms. Because if I'm watching an NBA game, not the playoffs right now, but a regular season game, I don't know where these teams are playing. Right? I don't know who's playing who in many cases because the Milwaukee Bucks are out there in blue. And, we can just go off on a tangent with this stuff. Baseball has a great deal of inventory, let's just say. 162 regular season games played out over the course of the majority of the year. And it's a relatively static game compared to hockey, compared to basketball. So I think there's room for expression. Now, let me just throw a big caveat out there. This City Connect marketing program, because that's what it is, has some hits and it has some misses. And I will be the first one to say, and I have had nothing to do with this professionally, okay? This is all a Nike joint. Some of them do backflips to make work. So the Red Sox Ukrainian uniforms, as you call them, which I'm all down with. I call them minions. They're yellow and they're minion-like.
Well, they look a little bit like the bananas, the Savannah
Yeah, well,
bananas,
hey,
and
listen,
there's a
lean into
whole
that.
wing of the success of that is this Harlem Globetrotters meets, Eddie Fainers. All I mean, I
Bill
don't.
Lee. Bill Lee like bridges the gap there between those two clubs, right? But here's the thing. I'm just gonna like step back and give you their marketing spiel, which I'm not buying. That was all about being a salute to the Boston Marathon. Okay, those are the colors of the Boston Marathon. And here's the thing: the MLB uniforms, of course, are Nike. I believe it was Reebok or Adidas, whatever, that did the had the rights to the marathon. So it's really guerrilla marketing. But those uniforms have now become an alternate uniform, not a City Connect. So the Red Sox have their white homes, they've got their gray traditional roads, and now we've got green entering the picture. Now I'm
Dude,
gonna
you're the Red Sox. Red
Do
Sox.
the White Sox wear white socks, Nestor?
The White Sox have worn a whole bunch of things. Nothing as good as the 69 jersey, I might add.
I wouldn't.
I don't know. I don't know
Are we
where I
being
am or where I'm
literal?
coming from when I'm making this argument, because the Red Sox, the wall thing to me is like you're wearing the hat right now. Like, I get it. I've been staring at that wall since, Fisk, waved at it and Tiant threw in front of it and Yaz defended it and like on and on and on. But I don't know why you'd need to wear that. It'd be like the Orioles wearing bricks, like literally wearing orange
Yeah, but a lot
bricks.
of teams have bricks. The Colorado Rockies could wear bricks because of instead of like dropping bricks.
I just don't, why not just like really lean into your brand? You know what I mean? Lean into the orange and black if you're the Orioles, lean into the blue and the red, mainly the red and the white if you're the Red Sox. I mean, I've seen some beautiful jerseys, like the Brewers going back to their, we played them last week and I thought it looks like Robin Yount and Paul Mollett are going to come get me any
Yes.
minute. And you know what I mean? And I get that vibe of throwback for an old guy like me, but I
Yeah.
also get the appeal that when young people see Patriot Pat, they kind of dig it too, right?
Yeah. Or Bucko Bruce, to your point earlier
But
with
who
Tampa
digs the
Bay.
Ukrainian look for the Red Sox that's a real Red Sox fan? Any Red Sox fan looks at that and says, dude, just give me something that looks like Yaz or looks like, Curt Schilling or something,
You got a
Pedro.
generation of people who the millennials, and I'm not going to be the get off my lawn. I try not to be, at least.
Well,
I
you are
am.
young and hip. You really are.
Well, you and I, it's the cheesesteaks that keep us young, even if our hearts are not benefited. But those yellow jerseys, Nestor, were incredibly popular among younger people. I'm just going to put it that way. And probably some people our age too, here and there, who just wanted a break from the usual. Right, a little diversion. Now, I'm not going to defend those, but I will defend the green because I think Fenway Green and the look of Fenway and how closely that ballpark is tied to 120 years of Red Sox tradition. I think it's a natural extension. There are no market speak linguistic backflips that need to be executed that connect those two things. They own it. It looks like the Red Sox. It looks like the culture of the Red Sox. Yellow, not so much. If you're the Baltimore Orioles and you're going out there in black uniforms that literally just say Baltimore in white and the sleeves have some colorful pattern, I
Well,
can.
by the way, the colorful pattern is meant to emulate neighborhoods. Like, it all has some symbolism that
It's
you either
market speak.
understand or you don't, or you have to Google. Like, it
Yeah.
took me a good, like, 2 to 5 minutes to look at the Red Sox uniforms and then try to guess. And then I had to Google, and then the announcers by the third inning had told the story once or twice. I guess I missed the pregame, right? Because they'd only lost 9 in a row at that point, and we're 17 games under 500. It was a Saturday morning. I needed a friggin' break from how awful the baseball's been. But I want to pull back the onion because Todd Radom, you really are an insider. You've written books. You've alluded to, and it's funny to hear who the villains are and who the heroes are and the artists and all of this. But you've alluded to the fabric manufacturers and the Nikes and the Under Armours and the Reeboks and the Adidases and whomever they are in sport, and that could be anywhere from in European soccer, where they put beer logos, primarily in the on the front of their chest, that becomes Carlsberg becomes the logo, right? Or Emirates Air or whatever becomes their logo. To traditionally now baseball doing the shoulder patches and NASCAR being an M&M's machine and whatever it would be, the power that ownership would have, let's say David Rubenstein here, and let's just talk for Baltimore and Boston. That's to keep this easy. Red Sox and Orioles and Major League Baseball and Nike because of that, right? I'm trying to understand the real business of this to say, all right, Nike's paying a fortune. They're going to design things, and every team, Yankees, Tigers, Cubs, they're all none, nobody's off limits here to be bastardized, right? And Jerry Jones is bastardizing the Cowboys 40 years ago, making money off of blues and silvers and alt helmets and different stuff like that. So I get the money part, and I get the nifty part when it looks good, like that Raven kiss face that you and I loved. It wasn't big enough on the helmet, but like I always thought they should have it. So like I'll make a modern argument when it look, dude, if it looks like ish, it's ish, and if it looks like the Steelers. Jailbird pajamas. It's goofy. Look like bumblebees. But somewhere between art, design, money, the teams, the league, branding, and then the decision that gets made, and the stuff appears in the gift shops, and it happens, and coaches have to wear it, and everybody's got to kumbaya it and try to sell it. Where's the power? Is the power Nike? Is the power still in ownership to say, we're not wearing those jerseys, or for the Bengals to say, hey, I like that white. Let's go with that. After they, teams that have changed a lot, my Padres, the Astros, whatever, and then teams that never change at all. I would like to think that somebody with the Red Sox would be a grown up about this. And for all of these organizations, that there'd be some sort of safety net to not have such, I mean, what the Rangers did with Tatis as an example.
Yeah, but that's not on the field. That was a fashion cap that, it never crossed the line. The Moonlight Graham thing applies. The minute you cross those white lines, things enter into a little bit more of a sacred territory, perhaps. But to answer your question, the power lies with ownership. And a perfect example would be the fact that the New York Yankees do not have a City Connect uniform, right? I mean, the Yankees famously in 1999, when MLB embarked upon a turn ahead the clock program where teams were, you remember this,
I
supposed to
do.
look like they were going to look like in the year 2021, which sounds quaint now.
Ken Griffey Jr. looked like he was in the Jetsons or something.
And that's kind of cool in retrospect. But George Steinbrenner famously said, "We are wearing our jerseys of the future, the pinstripes that look like DiMaggio and Mantle and so
That's a
on and
great
so forth."
quote. Yes, I love having you on for that stuff. That's
Well,
beautiful.
see, I mean, so yeah, it is all about gatekeeping. And in the case of the Boston Red Sox, the Red Sox are not just John Henry and Tom Werner. They are Liverpool, and they are, so many other things. Fenway Sports Group. They're a conglomerate, the Pittsburgh Penguins. So they're a marketing behemoth, and their goal is to make money. But even better, Nestor, they want to keep local revenue, stuff that doesn't have to be shared. So when you see a MassMutual insurance patch on the Boston Red Sox or T. Rowe Price on the Baltimore Orioles, right? I mean, that's about money that they don't have to share.
Well, in the case of the decision that gets made when they lay the colors and the fabrics out in front of John Angelos, in the case of the City Connects, in the case of whatever this guy's already made a bobblehead of himself. The things we'll get to on the field in a minute. Let's just stay with let's we haven't even talked about the orange pajamas, but that to me feels like that probably was a John Angelos thing from 2 years, because it takes 2, 3, 4 years to bubble this thing together to get them onto the field. We've seen that jersey for 50 years. They look like, I don't know, like pumpkins. And Jim Palmer's laughed about it on the air for 40 years now. Now they've actually put them out on the field in it. And I see Gunnar Henderson running around, and I keep thinking to myself, probably not a great idea. I mean, you probably could do something weird and bastardize the Oriole logo in a lot of ways. They've had ornithologically correct, they've had cartoon birds, they've had angry birds, happy birds, sad birds. They've had all sorts of things that they could do. The Orioles is like, I'd love to. If I own the team, Todd, I would call you and Rasig, and I'd say, hey, let's do something fun. Janet
How much
Marie,
fun would that be?
I get people involved because you can have fun with orange and black. You don't need to, the Orioles don't need to wear bricks on their jerseys with the Oriole Park at Camden Yards logo on their, like, you're the Orioles. Look like Cal Ripken, look like Brooks, look like Frank,
Well, our orange, a little bit goes a long way. I think you and I would agree on that. And the Orioles' orange jerseys, which I remember texting you a couple of weeks ago. I see Eddie Murray in that. I see the 1979 and 83 World Series in those uniforms, right? So you pair that with the pants and you become traffic cones. There's no question about it. Here's a little piece of trivia about orange, Nestor. The most suave American, perhaps, of the 20th century, Frank Sinatra. Orange was his favorite color. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
His house in Palm Springs was decked out in orange. He called orange the happiest color. And you know what? He was right. Orange is pretty awesome. I love orange. But I will tell you this, I have a pair of Chuck 70s that I'll wear, bright orange, like, blow you out. I wore them down at Camden Yards a couple of weeks ago. A little goes a long way. But I'm just going to steer it back to the marketing point.
I was
Give
just gonna sing baubles, bangles,
the
bright
Yeah.
shiny beads.
The
Yes.
happiest color. It's the
The
happiest color.
orange is great until you go to Cleveland and see a Browns game, and then you're like, oh, that's a lot of
Orange and
orange.
brown. You put brown in the mix, and that has to do with the Padres and giving the people what they want when they reverted back to their UPS look, as I call it. We could be a little more scatological about what yellow and brown look like, but I'm not going to go there.
I think of it more as a Ray Kroc McDonald's, back when the hot pies would burn the roof of your mouth properly. Remember that?
I remember it well, and I think I'm still feeling the scars on the roof of my mouth.
Tom Radom's here. He is a sports artist and a logo guy. He what are you working on lately? Is there anything? I mean, I really was afraid that I had insulted you because you work in the industry. I thought maybe you did the Fenway thing. I really didn't know. I
No,
know if you
I
didn't
did
do it,
not.
you know the people who did it. So
I do.
you're trying to be politically correct about. Do you have a favorite? Do you have like one or five modern things that you would say, oh, that just looks great? Because I don't like, I looked at all the City Connects. Luke and I were looking at them and trying to figure out, like, well, that looks okay and that might be okay. And some are just like fails, like right straight away, like everybody hated them. But I don't just mean City Connect. Is there anything going on that you look at and say that's an upgrade and it's new? It's not throwback because the throwbacks always catch me.
Yeah, and me too. And I think that we've been stuck in this very easy place where, teams and leagues have reverted to throwbacks because I've said this before to you, it's sort of like comfort food. A big heaping bowl of mashed potatoes or vanilla pudding just tastes awesome. It makes you feel good. It's easy on the eye. Here in Philadelphia, the world champion Philadelphia Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions, people love that Kelly Green look. And you know what? It looks great. I'm going to say this, Nestor. I think that consumers, that's what we are, sports fans, consumers of all kinds, we see colors differently than we might have 5 or 10 years ago. And I think it's because we're exposed to, particularly in sports, brighter colors, LED lights. You go to a stadium or an arena, and that place is just blown out. And the colors are just incredibly vibrant and rich. And I think younger people in particular respond to that because they're kind of used to it. They've grown up in an atmosphere of this that you and I did not necessarily.
Well,
So,
it's funny you'd say that because I went to a NASCAR race once in my life, and it was in 1997, 98 at Dover. And I went down there and I didn't like it, right? It was loud. I the and I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it, right?
yeah.
Really, really loud and a lot of people. And but the thing I remember vividly, this how fast the cars go, like your eyes can't even track how fast the I mean, it's an amazing spectacle. It really is. And the speed and the precision, television does not do it justice, but the color of the cars, they looked like glowing M&M objects in the sunlight. It was in May that I went. It was a beautiful day. And just seeing the 30 or 4, however many cars were like going 300 miles an hour, 210 miles an hour, whatever it was in circles, the color of it jumped me to say, oh, I kind of get like that appeal if you're a kid, if you're there, in the same way that the circus had color. You know what I mean? Like in the same way that sports, the green grass and the things that lured me into being a Houston Oilers fan back in the day. You know, I
There
mean, it
you
was
go.
something about
Columbia
color,
Blue.
right? So I mean, I would subscribe to everything you're talking about. When you go to an NBA arena now, it is really a wash in color.
Yeah, it really is. And so to answer a question that you posed, what am I up to? I work with Ice Cube on his Big Three Basketball League, and I have for 8, 9 years now. And that's kind of a renegade league in certain respects. It's a touring league. It's played in the summer, And you can do things there in terms of color and the look of the presentation of the game that you wouldn't do in the NBA because you don't have 80 some odd years of tradition attached to it. You can take chances. And they're going to be in Baltimore, as a matter of fact, in a couple of weeks. So that arena, very, very dark, right? Very black and white, very monochromatic. Barclays Center in Brooklyn is kind of similar on a larger scale. So when you start injecting a little bit of color, it can be a very good tool to draw people's eyes in and sell into. Let's put it that way. But too much can certainly be too much, and it depends on the traditions of what sport you're talking about. Baseball being the most traditional game, I mean, my God, they're wearing uniforms with buttons, these vestigial buttons that are the equivalent of an appendix. They don't need them, right? I mean, but it's all about tradition. Why is the manager wearing a uniform? Why are the players wearing socks? Why do they look like the 1869 Cincinnati Red Stockings?
By the way,
Because
I love the Mike Nolan era of coaches throwing back that to, the Tom Landry look
oh
in the
yeah.
NFL. And
Those Winter Classic coaches in the NHL who are
but the
just going
leisure
all
look
in.
of basketball coaches is kind
Yeah,
of
yeah,
like
yeah.
that's left me after Pat Riley, and that there was a there was a fashion thing going on even with fish ties back in the 80s and Don Nelson, but for me the fashion part of selling the items, seeing them in a gift shop, and Todd, I mean, you'll appreciate this, but I don't ever go to Manhattan without walking through Midtown and walking through the MLB store. I'm not an NBA fan, really. I mean, it's left me for all the reasons you talked about, just the awfulness of the Wizards aside and everything else that's gone on. I don't recognize it when I see it, and the game itself, much like baseball, when they were shifting and stuff, the game's not as good as it used to be for me. I think that's why people love the women's game, because the women's game's a better game, just a
Agreed.
physical, just a better game. But I walk through those stores and see really cool Padre stuff, really cool Brewer stuff, stuff that I identify with. Even the weird old Mariners, Bruce Bochy, Rupert Jones kind of era of throwback stuff. And I get why that appeals to a guy of my age. But I'm also looking to say what is the future, not just of the Yankees brand, but of other brands when they have been bastardized. And I mean, I don't know what the A's are going to be. The A's just going to roll around into three markets and keep everything. It appears that way, right? I mean, I'm going back to Charlie Finley and, moving the team from Kansas City and all of that. But it feels like teams have a chance. And we lost Jim Irsay last week, too. So I'll throw that in. I've been doing a whole lot on the life of Jim Irsay, who I got to know a little bit. But there's a whole movement in Baltimore amongst the old people of he should have given the Colts stuff back when we got our team and been the racers, and they would have had a chance to do their own markings, their own colors. And I know David Modell relished to the day he died, lived for the fact that he got to make the Ravens markings and make something new, make something fresh. And for all of the franchises that have had names like the R word in Washington or the I word in Cleveland, or even the college teams with Syracuse and other places like that, to be able to rebrand and rebirth, and I've done it a couple times myself here, there is a point for that when I see a guy like Rubenstein come in and buy a brand like the Orioles and say, all right, big boy, you made your bobblehead, team sucks, you got to figure out how to win. But I know the things that you like to have fun, you sat on the Kennedy Arts Foundation, you're probably when they bring you some jerseys, you're probably going to want to look at some of the swats and look at the alt hats and look at the this and the that. They're spending $600 million on the stadium redesign here, and I'm hoping Janet Marie gets a piece of that because I want it to be better kept than the left field wall has been here over the last
Yeah,
5 years.
and that
But
is her gift, her with that ballpark, just not to interrupt, but
sure.
she should be in the Hall of Fame. She should be in Cooperstown.
Yes. Yes, where do I get the vote for that?
She changed the way that we see the game, and I'm not just saying that because she's a friend, but I admire her work and have, long since long before I knew her. But I'm gonna jump in and answer your question. I think that if you are the owner of a team, you are the steward of a legacy, right? And I want to move back for one second because you talked about, when the Colts moved and, people are still There were people, older people, who are still ripped up about the Dodgers having left New York, right? And that took place in 1958. But the opportunity to start from scratch and to do something that represents a moving forward is a rare one. And I was just reading the other day about, okay, the Oklahoma City Thunder appear to be, they are on the cusp, as you and I speak, of an appearance in the NBA Finals. All that history that was left behind in Seattle, they did not take with them to Oklahoma City. It resides in a museum. The championship banner from 1979, the trophy, their artifacts, blah, blah, blah,
But they're
all of
not the
this.
Oklahoma City Sonics,
No, they are not, and they shouldn't
like the
be, right?
Utah Jazz.
Yeah, well, and it's a different age. Like, you probably wouldn't, unless there was a real reason to do that, you wouldn't do that. I've certainly read enough and researched about why do the Dodgers keep Dodgers and the Giants kept Dodgers when they moved out west in the late 50s? Well, because there was equity attached to the name, and there was no licensing or marketing to speak of at that moment. So it made sense for them to keep all of that.
How offensive to somebody from Brooklyn that they took the B and made it in LA. Oh, I mean, like I can't, like the, how offensive that would be to anyone. Like, and I speak as a Baltimore Colts guy that, in the aftermath of Jimmy Irsay, that I sat with him privately and he said, I'd do anything to change it, but I can't change what actually happened. And the notion that we would have wanted the Colts logo back after those 12 years, I don't think we wanted it back, but I think there's a point for all of these franchises that have to rebrand, rethink things, try to run away from bad things or try to seek good things. Change is inevitable. I mean, that's the one thing I can sit here with, as I hold Houston Oilers and St. Louis Cardinals stuff, the change is going to happen. I just wonder at what pace and the why and the who that decides on all this, because it usually does happen when ownership transfers, when people transfer, when ideology transfers, and when there's public sentiment to move things in a different direction, to run away from something like what the Washington football team has right now, right? All of that great history, all that awful history, and saying, well, we're Commanders now. We're going to do something different, you know?
Well, I mean, that's an unusual example, clearly, because of public sentiment, or let's just, without diving into the deep end of something you probably don't want to dive into, they had to make that change when they made it. And at least they kept the colors. And here's the thing, Nestor, they have an opportunity. They're a good team. They got to the conference final last year. Winning elevates a look. So when you talk about the fact that, listen, in 1985, 86, people in Baltimore, and you could speak to this, and I can't. There were probably a lot of people who wanted Colts back, but the Ravens go out, they make a history of their own, they win Super Bowls, equity gets attached to that name and that look, and good feelings result. Washington has a chance to do that. Looks like they're going to build a stadium where RFK used to be. They're making new memories. And that's a powerful thing. That really is. But the whole city, your question about owners being fashionistas, if you want to look at it that way, I'll give you a couple of examples. First of all, every owner of fashions, they want to put their stink on this expensive new toy that they have
Our
acquired.
guy's already made a bobblehead of himself.
And that doesn't have to do with the uniform, right? I mean,
So don't tell me he won't be involved.
You're right. And people are stunned. You remember the look of the Houston Astros at the turn of the 21st century, that brick and black and buff collar.
Burley Bagwell Biggio, yes.
And I kind of associate, they're all, well, I shouldn't say that. A couple of them are in the Hall of Fame with that broken star with the navy blue and gold. But anyway, those were the colors of Drayton McLean's trucking company. That's why the Astros had those colors.
Already
Okay?
said Ray Kroc and McDonald's, right? That's
Yeah,
why
so
Dave Winfield looked the way he did in the 70s, right?
totally, and so if Jim Crane comes along, buys the franchise in 2012 or 2013, of course he wants to get rid of that and impart a new look on that team. And I was involved with that, and they went back to the past, they dug into the past, and winning made a big difference in terms of public perception, good and bad in that case.
You said something really brilliant at the beginning. You said winning, lifts, you know, elevates the brand. Like I think about what the Chicago Bulls were before Michael Jordan came along. They were just the, you know, Stan Love. You know, they were like, you know, like who would want that? And I think then there's the it moved into a realm of the Yankees. The Yankees and the Bulls were like, you know, and it really even the Patriots in recent times, even your Red Sox goofy Rick hat you're wearing there, Fenway Wall hat you're wearing, the Red Sox thing when they started winning, and I met my wife 20 years ago, every human from any six state area was wearing a Red Sox B of some kind to say where they're Kansas City. Oh my God, like the winning of the Royals into the Chiefs, just travel anywhere. You will see KC everywhere because there is a civic regional pride involved in winning, like literally winning, you know, and there's nothing winning about Orioles stuff, right? Do you want to do any baseball? Do you have any? Because you were like, you're a baseball head. You were down here. Like, what the hell has happened here? You're in Philadelphia where they march in parades and doing all that stuff. But this thing here has, it's sad, man. I mean, I don't know what
It
else to
is.
say.
It
Like,
is.
I was in Toronto like a minute ago, opening day, and we had a real season. And then you're 20 games under 500.
Yeah. And, the obvious thing to say down there, Nestor, is you've got this incredible young talent, and it seemed like they were on the cusp of something. And you mentioned Pat Riley earlier. And I remember Pat Riley talking about teams that you need to lose before you win, right? I mean, the Bulls that you reference. How many times did Michael Jordan lose to the Pistons before,
And the
breaking Jordan
Cavaliers.
and the Cavs, right? So the Orioles certainly, they appeared to be on the cusp of something really, really special, and all of a sudden things just blew up. And is it a non-investment in pitching? That would certainly seem to be a big deal, but not the only thing. It's never the manager's fault 100%. You can't fire the players. But the amount of pessimism that I experienced there relative to the amount of optimism that I experienced the last time I went there was palpable and totally understandable. And to the point where, like I said, I had these UK friends. They'd never been to Baltimore before, Nestor. That was their only experience.
Oh man. And you know what? I didn't go to Vegas early and I didn't circle back with you and I was in town that night because I stayed home for those 3 days. It was the night that Gina Shock and the Go-Go's played in Vegas and I thought I was going to be there and I didn't go till Saturday and I was in town and I so like I can't believe I didn't take your friends out for some Fadley's crab cakes or over to Costas and give them some hard shells to hit on and I'm sorry, man.
That would have been the real experience, but
I
sometimes
pooped the
things
bed
don't
on
work
that,
out.
Radom. I'm terrible. I've been
Hey,
a bad
no,
friend to you, man.
they want to come down next time because
Well,
they
there you go.
really,
All right.
it's such a great city, and they got a snoot full of it for as much as you could in
Well,
the
tell them
course
when they come next time, we'll try to make sure the baseball team's not in last place, okay?
of. What are we going to do about that?
You know, when Angelos owned the team, they were never allowed to call it last. They had to call it fifth place. Couldn't call it last place.
True.
That's absolutely. If I said it, it's true. Believe me, I write
I believe
humor
it.
here. That's not a part of my humor. I'm going to
Yeah.
work on my humor act because I can make stuff up there. The problem with this show is I can't make stuff up. Todd Radom is here. I'd like to make up the fact that I thought that those orange uniforms would look better than they do. Dude, I was solidly behind put them on, put them on, put them on until they put them on. And you know, the argument that Luke and I legitimately have, and this goes back to Justin Tucker, but it doesn't. There's a famous picture of Justin Tucker wearing the purple uniform with the gold pants. The
Yeah.
Ravens wore them one time, and I don't know why Tucker is the one that the picture shows up all the time, but like I love that look. Luke hated it. And I thought it had some regal, royal, Notre Dame throwback kind of like, and they never wore it again. And people hated it. And I still like it. And people think I'm tongue in cheek. I really liked it. Did you hate that look?
No, I like it. And here's the thing, Nestor. You think about baseball pants, dark baseball pants, a lot of these City Connects that are just all black. It's an awful, awful look because the pants are baggy for the most part, right? And it just and they're not moving around as much as in football. They look a it was a good look. I'm just going to put it that way. It's a good color combo. Reminds me of the Lakers. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, all right. Let's get a cheesesteak sometime soon. Todd Rader's up in Philadelphia. He's in Fishtown, working on all sorts of things, working on logos, working with Ice Cube, who once came on the show here in the Cool Basketball League, and noting there's not a day that goes by where something doesn't come to your desk, right? Like there's not a new piece of sports art, a new hat, a new alt, a new something for you to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down. You're like Siskel and Ebert, right?
24/7, 365.
I can't believe you like that wall thing in Boston. Todd Radom is here. Go check him out. Google him. Find him. Purveyor of all things and keeping the flame alive for the Hartford Whalers logo and probably the Montreal. I'm going to get an Expos throwback something because every time I see it,
Oh,
I think I
they
need
are
to
so
own
great.
something. I need to own something that says Les Expos. All right. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Fashion police are going to sleep until Luke comes back on here and we talk about pumpkin uniforms again.